It's the Henry Ainge Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12:05 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. And the first half of the show, if you missed it, was a pretty open and active
open forum.
You're welcome to call in at 888-761-1490. Normally it's not too much of a call-in show, but some of those thoughts in the previous segment, if you're still thinking about them and you want to call in, 888-761-1490, we'll welcome that. We have a lot of news that moved the market this week, and I guess we'll incorporate that with the discussion that we've had. We can get into all that in just a second here.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, now the news about all the emotions that we were talking about last week. Prices of major cryptocurrencies saw a sharp downward slide starting Thursday amid closer regulatory scrutiny on the space and Google announcing their plans to ban advertising related to the sector. Also, large selling from a trustee of a now-defunct cryptocurrency exchange, Mt. Gox, was said to be to blame. And the price recovered earlier in the week, but then hit a low on Thursday of 7,676 and change. That's the lowest since all the way back in February 8th. The price had gotten back up to about 8,500 last night or early this morning. I can't remember because I was sitting there in front of the screen and not looking at a clock. But it is back down around 7,900, I think, is what I looked on the break, but who knows. Mt. Gox was said to be guilty of part of the crash in February after it sold $400 million of Bitcoin into the market and selling into the crash in a panic selling. Now, we were talking about before the break for the halfway point about people dumping Bitcoin into the market. Now, I've seen two different reports on Mt. Gox. One is that there won't be any other sales until September. Of course, there wasn't any announced sales before the market got dumped on in February. The other is that he's going back to the trustee court, the judge, in this case in Japan, to find out how he should dispose of that. So we got a number of things that happened this week, including House hearings that I have audio from. But any thoughts about Mt. Gox?
Well, you know, I think we expressed the last week that they should just divide the coins up and give them back to the people that lost them. I think they would rather have the coins than have cash at this point. But the other thing that they could do would be to auction it off in a private auction over a period of time. And there are large hedge funds and investment companies and, you know, banks even, that would be willing to buy a large purchase that they couldn't do it on the open market. If I want to buy 1,000 Bitcoin, I'm moving the market. You know, you can't do that on Coinbase. So if you do it in a private auction, and the, Marshall's office, U.S. Marshall's had several auctions that they've done, and they've been quite successful, and people bid on them, and that's it. So that's how they should do it. I think it's been a total cluster in Japan. I mean, Japan needs to get it together. They need to regulate the regulators over there. It's been total cluster with the, you know, hack and
well,
how they've handled
it. Well, it seemed
everything
to be a good plan a year ago. A whole lot of circumstances have changed since then, and the idea that the jurisprudence in Japan is going to be quick on their feet like a ninja might be a little bit of a stretch.
I have a question. But if Mt. Gox, let's say someone bought Bitcoin at $20 at that time, and they sell the Bitcoin, give them the $20 back, who keeps the rest of the money? That's stealing.
That's all that needs to be more transparent. And we had Lennart here from Byte Federal last week, who is a loser in the Mt. Gox hack from way back, and he still hasn't gotten a dollar back yet. So there's a lot to be determined there, and there's a lot of questions, obviously. Let's go to the other thing that happened. One of the other things that happened, Alphabet-owned Google, the world's largest digital advertiser, announced it was banning cryptocurrency-related advertising, including initial coin offerings, wallets, and trading services. they gave a number of reasons about this. Of course, they have to protect their advertising revenue business, but it really is seems overreach.
It's garbage. I mean, in a free market economy, you do what you want. I mean, Google got there because it was a free market.
No, because they don't allow adult content advertising on Google. That's their right. There's online gambling they don't allow on Google. So they have already set the precedent that they will rope off certain businesses. The thing here is Facebook.
They sure don't have a problem with the Trump-Russian thing, do they? I mean, that's all over Google.
I don't know many businesses advertising that, which is what we're talking about, in paid advertising. That's a whole different kind of way of putting your message out. But Facebook, we were boosting our meetups on that, and I don't feel like a free meetup for people to come and talk and meet each other was something that we were preying on people with, but we can't do that anymore. Google now is taking the same thing. It doesn't start till June. But, I mean, that's the first question, is why should this be grouped in with online gambling and adult sexual content?
Again, it goes to the perfect example of you're not doing an ICO. This is the Henry Rain Show, and you have a right to have a voice. And for them to
Yeah, I can't advertise the fact that there's a radio show either.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's crazy. So they've taken the pendulum and swung it too far to the left.
Yeah, but this is something bigger. If you think about it, where are the two biggest outlets right now in America? Facebook, Google. The government.
In the world.
Yeah, Twitter. In the world, basically. The government, everyone. Every time I sign up a client now, the bank shuts off their Coinbase. Why are they doing that? They never did that before. They're making it so hard to buy Bitcoin. They're making it, the government, somebody's saying, let's get rid of this crypto stuff. They're trying.
I think that, here's the issue with the banks, and I'm not backing up the banks. I'm not a big bank guy. I don't own any bank stocks. But with the banks, the issue that they have is compliance. I read somewhere that they spend more money on compliance than anything else. And so they get to a point where they're, they say, are we money laundering? If you're transferring money to Coinbase and then you're transferring it. So until the regulators come down and regulate the industry overall, and I'm not saying regulate Bitcoin, please, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail now, but they have to set some rules in that so that the banks can allow this. This is the same issues that Bifederal has with getting a bank account.
I think that's true for them. I think a lot of the moves by the big banks right now are they're threatened by the fact that, and they say this in their SEC filings now, that their business model is threatened by blockchain and cryptocurrency and the competition coming from there. So they can pull those the ability to use them, your credit cards. Now I don't know if Coinbase.
I don't know if that's a bad thing. When you're charging your credit card to make a risky investment.
Let me give you an example right now, because Bank of America, when I tried to use my debit card, they put a 3% surcharge on that.
See, they're trying to get some money back.
Well, yeah. So then you could use your credit card and you could just do it with no surcharge from a different company
and get the points.
But the thing is, now Coinbase, this is where they're sort of lending you money. They're not shorting you money. I mean, they're margining your money, because when you buy on Coinbase now, you get instant credit in your account for what you buy, but it doesn't come out of my bank account for 2 or 3 business days.
Yeah.
So really, they're loaning me on, I don't know if you'd call it margin, but they're loaning me the currency, the cryptocurrency. Anyway.
Well, and they probably, and that's probably part of the issue, is that because of how the automatic check transfer, whatever it is, the ACH, works, is that people have bought stuff and not had the money to back it up, and then it becomes an overdraw, and then the banks the banks left with these overdraws, and Coinbase is left with holding the money. So,
need to say you're listening to WWPR 1490 AM, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. Augie, do you have to head out of here?
I do. I think I'm just going to leave my advice through Andy, because he said it so well. Thank you, Andy.
We seldom agree, but we agree today. Isn't that amazing?
Twin sons of different mothers. Well, one of the things about the Google News it goes to the very beginning of the show when I said, who's left to panic? And you talk about Warren Buffett and who has strong hands. I was trying to figure out when this happened and it moved the market. It's one thing for people to dump Bitcoin or short Bitcoin and move a market. But who that is actually holding after all these ups and downs after the last few months is going to decide, oh, Google isn't going to have ads now. I better dump.
Yeah, I don't think that's it at all. I think it has more to do with margin trading and some of the other exchanges into which trade a sell-off, and then then you have the arbitrage trade, which comes in, and it just kind of feeds around. So this is not long-term holders dumping their Bitcoin at this point. I mean, that would be silly. This is simply people that are margining trade, and that is a risk to the market in general, this margin stuff. I mean, 50 to 1 is crazy on anything.
Well, one thing that happened this week that probably had more material effect on the marketplace, but I don't know that necessarily moved the market this week, was the hearings in the House Financial Services Subcommittee on, financial services or something like that? Capital Markets, Securities, and Investments. That was the home of such wisdom as set from Representative Brad Sherman. Quote, cryptocurrencies are a crock.
Yeah.
Representative Carolyn Maloney, they're pouring their life savings into virtual currencies, and they stand to lose a lot of money when this bubble eventually bursts. Both those representatives from New York. Well, look, Brad Sherman's from California. That's a little bit surprising.
They're both
there.
Democrats, though, right?
Yeah, but that's gone both ways. In the Senate, we had Mark Warner that was the biggest proponent of cryptocurrencies.
Well, he was a proponent. He was for cryptocurrencies, though.
Oh, proponent.
Okay, well, these guys aren't.
Right. But what I'm saying is it depends on the interest of that in that. So I'm not surprised that someone from New York wants to defend banking interests. I'm surprised that someone from California isn't defending technical interests, tech industry interests.
Well, here it is, people trying to control people's money. And that goes back to what we've said here several times that, the small guy does not have the opportunity because you have to, what do they call it when they, you have to be certified or...
I think accredited investor.
Accredited investor. They're trying to prevent and get those people out there in the audience, vote Republican. Because these people are these Democrats are trying to prevent you from making money.
No,
saying,
it's the same
only
Republicans
our small group can do it because we
here.
Don't trust you with your own money.
Politically, you can find it's in these articles, too, if you bother to read the rundown. It says that it's bipartisan. They're split. The blockchain caucus in Congress has members of both parties. So the idea, you ought to look at what
your on record of speaking.
What?
Well, you got two records on there of speaking.
This week?
Okay. I've not seen too many Republicans
I'm
not be for a free market
what
economy.
I can find on Google.
Okay. All right.
Let's go with what the committee did, and then we'll get the audio.
That just shows you because Google's very liberal, and they could only find liberal people that are against Bitcoin.
Someday you'll actually argue the idea is opposed to talking point. The committee was called to discuss initial coin offerings, which are used by companies to raise capital for business and product. There have been $2.6 billion of ICOs so far this year. I believe that's probably 2017 and not 2018. Sherman accused the cryptocurrency community of using the term ICO to, quote, lie to the public and convey the image that this is like an IPO. They stole the intellectual property and trademark of legitimate investing. You're going to get to hear this lie from him. The head of the CFTC, J. Christopher Giancarlo, who we've talked about, and J. Clayton, SEC chairman, were quoted as saying the SEC is devoting a significant portion of resources to the ICO market. That was the other thing that happened this week was the announcement of the expansion of subpoenas and investigation of ICOs. Again, if you're holding Bitcoin, not so much effect to you, but that doesn't stop you from doing whatever you want in the marketplace. Representative Bill Huizenga said, Republican Admission said, this is hello and not goodbye when it comes to regulating the, quote, crypto craze. The panel is Congress is not going to sit idly by with a lack of protection for investors. So a Republican for regulation. Mike Lempres, the chief legal and risk officer of Coinbase, said Coinbase, now this speaks to Andy's point about the uncertainty, is waiting for the dust to settle before actively engaging in supporting ICOs. Once the rules are clear, we will move in. I already spoke about Representative Carolyn Maloney, and I have other quotes here from Representative Tom Emmer. But since he's the new darling of the cryptocurrency world, let's just go ahead and play him so you can hear for yourself why that is. This is him from his opening statement at the committee hearing.
Getting, we have a regulatory vacuum. That scares me to death. I tend to trust people before I distrust them. I tend to believe that people are in these things for good, that they're trying to improve their own lives and hopefully the lives of people around them, that old adage of a rising tide lifts all boats. And yet I hear elected officials who don't have any concept of what we're dealing with here and how exciting it is, talking about, oh my gosh, we got to run in, we got to regulate, we got to create more government infrastructure. And by the way, I respectfully disagree with the idea that that won't act as a wet blanket on this amazing new technology. What we're talking about here is blockchain. Blockchain technology applies all over the place. I mean, it could solve some of our cybersecurity issues. These are open transactions where Milton Friedman, of all people, predicted this back in 1999 when he said there will come a day in the financial services space where you will be able to do this over the Internet, where A will have a transaction with B, and it will be entirely open for people to see, but A won't know B and B won't know A. If that, you can know that, and you can see things. I think Mr. Lempres was talking about how you can see things through the blockchain that are going on. I love the fact that Mr. Rosenblum talked about examples of blockchain technology outside of this space. And I will tell you, in Minnesota, we have a company called BankU that's using blockchain to provide digital identities to unbanked and underbanked individuals in order to build a credit history and access capital. I mean, that's something that Democrats and Republicans should be celebrating here in Congress, not going, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. We don't understand it. We need a new policeman, or we got to take the policeman we already have and give him even more powers to start to invade this space and perhaps frustrate the development. I have concerns. I realize there has to be some regulation, but it's the balance. And I've heard from the panel that we have regulation already in place. We just need clarity. Mr. Lempres, why don't I start with you? You talked about we have to be able to say what is a security in this space? What is a commodity? I would add, what is currency? Because these are all important definitions to whether or not certain...
All right. He gets it. I mean, that guy gets it. Am I wrong there?
I like that.
Well,
guy.
He's one of the co-chairs of the Blockchain Caucus, which has a Republican co-chair and a Democratic co-chair.
And which one was he?
Tom Emmer. Now, I'm having a little bit of trouble playing the audio from Brad Sherman, the Representative Sherman from California, with his negative comments, but I'm going to try and open this up a different way and see if we get through to this.
He gets it there. And again, do we need to have Congress? Oh, we got it, don't we?
Well,
we got the commercial.
Yeah.
There we go. Skip ad.
All right. So here we go. Hopefully this will be Mr. Sherman, Representative Sherman.
California, Mr. Sherman, for 2.5 minutes. Unfortunately, our colleague, distinguished ranking member, was unable to be here this morning, asked unanimous consent to enter into the record the statement of the gentlelady from New York.
Without objection.
Cryptocurrencies are a crock. What social benefit do they provide? Well, they allow a few dozen men in my district to sit in their pajamas on the couch all day and tell their wives they're going to be millionaires. They help terrorists and criminals move money around the world. They help tax evaders. They help startup companies commit fraud, take the money, and 1% of the time they actually create a useful business. But then again, I dare say that some tiny percent of all larceny and crime helps finance something that turns out to be useful. It hurts the U.S. government in two ways. Our ability to have the dollar be the chief means of international finance is what has underpinned our ability to impose sanctions and stop tax cheating. And furthermore, when we have people take risks, we don't encourage gambling. We encourage investment in the real economy. But when you buy a Bitcoin, are you financing a new factory? No, you're gambling on its value for no social benefit. Now, I know that these cryptocurrencies are popular. They're popular with guys who want to sit in their pajamas and tell their wives they're going to be millionaires. And they're popular with those who have read Atlas Shrugged and Fountainhead and believe that these are the new canons, the new divinely inspired documents of our age. But they're harmful, and they're harmful in one other way, and that is, I'm going to mispronounce the word, sinerage, is the benefit that the U.S. government gets by issuing currency. It is the float. It is the fact that we do not pay interest on newly created dollars. We lose that as well. And the Fed is able to return well over $50 billion to our treasury in many of the recent years. We undercut that. And then finally, we've got these initial coin offerings deliberately naming themselves to lie to the public and convey the image that it's like an initial public offering. They stole the intellectual property and trademark of legitimate investing and applied it to a fixed, fraudulent gambling scheme of no social benefit. Aside from that, I think it's a good idea.
All right. There's so many things there that was wrong. But what really I speaks to me when I hear this, one, if you interpret what he said in half of that, is he's worried about the threat of the dollar dominance and dollar hegemony in the world economy. And the other thing I think to myself when I listen to him, I say, what constituencies, as in what money is behind him that wants this killed, that they would go so off the over the top on these arguments? Because I've heard other people that didn't know what they were talking about not be that absurd with their comments.
Absolutely.
And it's almost by deliberate intent to be over the top and that alarming.
You don't have to look very much further than who's donating to Mr. Sherman's political campaign, Allied Wallet, Credit Union National Bank. And the biggest donors were the securities investment and accountants. I mean, really? This guy's up there preaching against it.
How much money did they get?
Yeah, right. Securities investment was his largest. Donor from securities and investment. That's the group that gave the most money to him was from the securities and investment.
How much was that?
It was $56,000. So if you looked at it,
$56,000 here and there starts to add up to real money.
Well, he's it's not like he's running for senator or anything. I mean, he's a nobody out there in California. And, of course, he's trying to protect the interests of the people that are donating money to his furtherment and cause. So, I mean, here you go. I mean, politicians getting involved in this, and you got to look to see what is their benefit from this. And it's his donors that are paying for him to say this kind of stuff because everything he said was wrong. The U.S. dollar is probably the biggest funding of terrorism around the world, and so is it as far as the drug trade. I mean, I think at one time Tide, if you remember, Tide was like one of the biggest uses for Tide was doing illegal drug deals. Oh, you're going to ban Procter & Gamble from selling Tide? I mean, it was kind of amazing that's used in drug deals. So it's to point out cryptocurrencies, which, by the way, is totally transparent and traceable, as the U.S. Marshal auctions off of all the time for people that catch using them illegally, is ludicrous. And you just have to look to who's funding these guys.
We have two commercial breaks to get in before the end of the show. So let's get to one right now, and we'll come back and pick up maybe where we left off or maybe just go on to something else.
If you're a business owner, you need to start listing right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business. Hosting a Bite Federal Bitcoin ATM gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877 855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Raines Show. Or just go to BikeFederal.com and fill out the simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BITE. B-Y-T-E, that's 877-855-2983, or go to BikeFederal.com.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to comb it out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to her every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Henry Raines Show here at WWPR 1490 AM. And in the studio still is Alex Solis, Solis Digital Assets. Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug, one TradingView columnist and SeekingCryptos.com co-founder. We will get back to just some headlines here real quickly in a second, but I want to remind you that before we get out of here that you have two events that you want to put on your calendar this coming week. Friday, Seeking Crypto's Investing Seminar will be at Duff's Buffet in Bradenton at Bayshore Garden Shopping Center. It's at 3 o'clock on Friday, and Andy will be there. His co-founder, Mark Principato, direct from New York, will be there. And the owner, CEO, if you will, of J-Squared Investing will be there, Joseph Gehrman. And that was the other thing I couldn't remember in my portfolio. I'm mining crown coins somewhere with Joseph with a system node for crown coin.
Start out with, and Bob there, who we read his email. It was a great email, Bob. Thank you for writing in. The specific point that we're having at this this meetup here on Friday, the exact point is going to be the three most common mistakes traders make. And Mark is going to emphasize on that. So if you want to know what you're doing wrong, what you're doing wrong in trading, you may want to come to this event.
And if Friday afternoon at 3 is a little difficult for you, you got a chance to do it all over again. You should do it twice because you're going to forget stuff the first time around.
Absolutely.
Mark Principato will be our special guest at the monthly Bradenton Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup at Connect Bradenton, downtown Bradenton, corner of 600 Old Main Street, catty corner to the courthouse. Beautiful facility. You need to come out and check out what we have, this resource here in Bradenton. Connect Bradenton. The website's connectbradenton.com. You can find out a lot more about that. It's probably the
It is definitely the highest tech. If you're going to open a little office building and you're into technology, that's where you need to be. If you're, you know.
And if you felt a little crowded, because we were a little crowded at Mocha Joe's, you're going to like this. You're going to have room and a nice environment and superior visual aids there also. In fact, speaking of a visual aid, we have the senior doer. Some people might call him a CEO, but he's the senior doer at Connect Bradenton. He'd come in just to observe today, but we're going to draft him to get on the radio here. And that Bernie Krogan, senior doer, Connect Bradenton, connectbradenton.com. Tell us about Connect Bradenton real quickly. Just we got a couple minutes, and what you're looking for at Bradenton and technology.
Thank you, Henry. It's a pleasure to be here. I just dropped in to listen to what goes on. I'm glad no one's fighting yet.
Well, Augie left.
Yeah, and I am inquiring and trying to learn the difference between Bitcoin and blockchain, and I'm starting to see the difference, and I want to learn a lot more. I think that these are great things to be aware of. Connect Bradenton is open for small businesses and entrepreneurs. That's who we serve. And we provide every type of office service that somebody needs, basic social membership, a co-working desk, or private office, or meeting rooms. And we're mainly a place to meet other ones. That's why we call ourselves Connect.
And you have high-tech stuff. You're high-tech there as far as Internet and Wi-Fi and all that?
The bandwidth that we have is superb. It can be increased to any level we want. We have both cable and we have fiber. And so they cross over, and so it never goes down.
And if you're getting into what's really impressed me there is they're building a video room. So if you want to do a little news thing, or can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we just completed the podcast room. And so that our clients can learn at Connect how to do a podcast and put it on your website. And right now we're building a video room. And we will use the video room to introduce all of our clients to the marketplace. And then we will teach our clients how to use the video and put it on their websites.
That's great. And who's the gentleman there that did that? Because he was a real smart guy.
Matthew Peters.
Matthew Peters, yes.
Matthew Peters is a genius, and he is part client, part partner.
And he helps you out if you have some questions.
That's what I said. He's part client, part partner.
Actually, Wednesday at 12 is when he does his mentoring.
He does private mentoring at 12 o'clock for our members, and then at 4:30 on Thursdays, he teaches a subject, they're always about how to market your business. He taught our clients how to do a testimonial class this week.
And what's the cost if I wanted to join up
It starts as low as $49 a month, and the coffee's free. So,
I love that.
So, I mean, if you go to Starbucks, we're going to beat that deal.
Which is many people's co-work office.
I was going to say, I was at Dunkin' Donuts for years.
I'm going to go Wednesday at 12 to speak with Matthew to make sure our presentation for the Bradenton Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup this Saturday next weekend at 3 o'clock at Connect Bradenton is the best one we've ever done, and we already have a great guest lineup. I want to thank Bernie for being here. I had a whole bunch of headlines here at the end of the rundown. I'm just going to read through them because there was a lot of good news this week.
Yeah.
And things like Google Ads and stuff like that just sucked the wind out of the market. And then we'll get to Alex's coin of the week. U.S. State Department and Coca-Cola to use blockchain technology to fight forced labor. U.K. crypto exchange to launch Bitcoin futures contract. See, when I rush, I just stumble all over it. G20 reveals names and dates for next week's crypto talk. Well, that one's...
Hopefully
right.
Sherman won't be on that list.
That sinks the market. What day is that? I think it's Monday, Tuesday. Chinese investment group to launch blockchain funding center. Crypto escapes scrutiny at annual China investor event. Another good thing. Singapore central bank touts blockchain for payments. Lithuanian central bank seeks developers for blockchain sandbox. MIT founded startup raises $20 million for supply chain blockchain. Royal Bank of Canada explores blockchain to automate credit scores. American Express patent filing touts blockchain for faster payments. And Moscow's blockchain voting platform adds service for high-rise neighbors. So all these things are happening in the background while we're worried about the ebb and flow of the market and who's scared and who's uncertain.
Stay long.
Alex, let me go to our last commercial break, and then we'll come back with the coin of the week. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show.
A new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcobra Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcobra Massage. Quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MN number 34081.
We're in the money.
Masternode March Madness. That's our theme here at J Squared Invest in sunny downtown St. Petersburg. If you have ever considered adding truly passive income to your life, but never knew how to do it, now is your time. From now through March 15th, J Squared Invest will be waiving the $750 setup fee for your first Masternode. Now is your time to go to jsquared.io or email us at support@jsquared.io and learn what we can do for you. J Squared Invest, connecting through crypto.
We're in the money.
We've got a lot of money
tips to get along. WWPR, 1490 AM, Henry Raines Show here. Before we go to Alex's coin of the week, one thing that I forgot with the discussion back about Facebook and Google, and this just throwing a conspiracy theory out. We don't have time to take this up. But do you remember Farmville on Facebook? It was a real fad. Grab the mic.
God.
You remember that? And how you would buy things with what did they use to buy things? It was like an imaginary dollar or something?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So think about how that big game was and all the activity with it. So Facebook is developing its own blockchain, possibly its own cryptocurrency. You keep that stuff off your platform, which is global. All of a sudden, you introduce that, and before you know it, people are buying things from other merchants with Facebook cryptocurrency. All of a sudden, Facebook, which truly has the reach to do it, has a global cryptocurrency instantly. And some people suspicious. Yeah, Andy's nodding his head. Let's go to the coin of the week, Alex. What's up?
All right, so this is one of my favorites. It's Wabi.
Wabi.
Yeah. So they came out in December around $1.40. You know, they crashed hard around 74 cents. You buy it on Binance. What I really like about Wabi is they're on JD.com. That's like the world's, that's China's biggest retailer online and offline. They're on there. They help, but China's biggest problem is counterfeit. So what they do is they help, you know, get clarity in that. So if you buy a Wabi product or a product with Wabi on it, you know it's real, which helps us all out because nobody knows, you know, what's a real Gucci glasses are fake anymore in China. And baby food, they're in baby food stores right now, currently. So they have actual stores. They have online stores. They're just a real company.
And what's the symbol?
W-A-B-I. And the real company is called Walamai. W-A-L-I-M-A-I. It's a real company.
It's an actual real company with a real product, and they've actually been around since 2000 or something like that. I mean,
yeah,
what's their current price?
74 cents.
I mean, at like $5.
I'm in at $1.25.
I'm just kidding.
I just found out about it a couple weeks ago. And Joseph from J Squared, who'll be at your event and most likely the meetup too, I'm guessing, is trying to develop the ability to sell.
And that's why I bought it.
I
bought Wabi for that.
Okay, and
full disclosure, we all own it.
JD.com.
Yeah, well, they're not really a partner, I would say, but they have an online store with JD.com, which is huge. It's basically bigger than Amazon.
Right. Here's a good question for you, Henry, before we leave. What is the number one pharmaceutical product that is counterfeited?
I give up.
Chapstick.
Chapstick?
Believe it or not, Chapstick is the number one counterfeited product in the pharmaceutical industry.
I'm only buying one with a Wabi symbol on
it. That's right.
All right, well, that's another time we could use another half hour of the show, but we don't have it. We want to thank Andy, Alex, Bernie Krogan from Connect Bradenton, connectbradenton.com. Remember, and Augie, of course, for being here, Sabine for calling in. Remember, Friday, 3 o'clock, Duff's, Bayshore Gardens Shopping Center, Bradenton, Duff's for the Seeking Crypto Seminar. And then our first Bradenton Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup at Connect Bradenton downtown Bradenton. We'll see you all there, and we'll be back next week with another show.
Crips and a KKK.